The following message is from the 2025 Southeast Regional Biblical Counseling Conference, Biblical Counseling in a Mental Health Crisis.
Well, again, welcome back. So excited to share with you again. As we started last night, we talked about all the different challenges that we see as it relates to when there is a worldview conflict, you're going to have conflict in so many areas. And so tonight or today, I want to challenge us on considering why we need biblical counseling. And with that in mind, if you would turn in your Bibles before we look at 2 Timothy 3:16 for a moment, turn in your Bibles to a familiar passage, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And Proverbs 3, 5 kind of gives us this broad picture, if you will, of how to think about life, how to understand what it means to trust the Lord, and just some particulars that I want you to think about. It says, Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Conjunction. You remember conjunction, junction. What's your function? Right? And do not lean on your own understanding. Then he says, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Now, part of why I'm going here is there's a process here. Trust in the Lord. The trust has to do with resting, relying upon, putting all your weight. The Hebrew word for Lord there is Elohim. Self-existent God has no beginning, no middle, no end. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Heart has to do with the mind, the will, the affections, trusting from the inside out. But it says, and do not lean on your own understanding. If we were to break down leaning on your own understanding, which is what we tend to do, it's a human observation without a biblical interpretation. That's what it means to lean on your own understanding. Human observation without a biblical interpretation. Here's the problem. When most people come to counseling, they have had all these experiences. They have been abused. They've been misused. They've gone through a lot of things. And what's happened is they have given it their own definition. So they're telling you, this is what's happened to me. This is what's been going on in my world. This is what I'm living with. And thus, it means this. So therefore, I feel this. And what's happened is a lot of people will try to correct and try to guide them into teaching, you need to do this, versus stopping and listening to say, wait a minute, they've just shared something with you. They're showing you how they're leaning on their own understanding. They're giving you their human observation without a biblical interpretation, and you're trying to move them towards change, but you haven't dealt with their understanding of the situation. Then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. The Hebrew word for acknowledge there has this thing of a circumspect evaluation. It's looking at every area of your life, seeing what God says, and submitting your way to it. That's what it means to acknowledge. And he will make your path straight. That's a moral, productive, satisfying life is what we're talking about. But what I want you to see is there's a process here. Before one can move towards change, one has to be in a position to see. And before one can see, their eyes have to be opened. Biblical counseling is the model by which we guide people to what I call the ABC model. Awareness, broken, and then we talk about change. I can't help you to change if you're not broken. It's hard for you to be broken if you're not aware. And the reality is, when you look at that passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that is a process where you have to see it the way he sees it, not disown your experience, but to understand your experience through his eyes, because all of us bring our own definitions to our experiences. But until we can see it as God sees it, we won't deal with it the way what God wants us to deal with it, so we won't be what God wants us to be, and we won't have the freedom that God wants us to have. As my oldest daughter, who we adopted at 19, she was raped and molested by her stepfather for over 9 years of her life. And so as we had to show her a reality of who God was, we had to work her through her pain. We had to help her to see her pain through the grid of the eyes of God and how he was not going to waste her pain in her life, but he had something he was going to do with that pain for his glory and her good. We had to help her to see that what people said about her was not the reality of who she was. That was what someone said to her, and she couldn't define life by her own opinions and what the world said, which is leaning on her own understanding. She had to see life through God's grid. Let me give you an example. My wife and I, we did a trip one time. We were doing a missions trip to Jordan. And as we were in Jordan, they said, well, before we begin, guys, we want to take you to the mall. And we went to the mall. And as we got in the mall, I saw all these Western things. I'm like, who in the world would think I'd come all the way to Jordan in the Middle East and see Popeye's chicken, right? So I'm tripping. So you know I'm going to get some Popeye's chicken. So I went and got some Popeye's chicken, right, in Jordan. So then they had a Nike store. And I said, honey, I want to get some Nikes. She said, why? I said, because it's in Jordan. I want some Nikes. Let's just go get some Nikes. She said, all right, fine. So we get to the elevator, and there's a map there. And the map says, you can fill in the blanks for me. You are... Now, what if my wife and I would have disagreed with the map? I don't believe this map. I don't think this is where we are. Could we have gotten to the store? And see, most people come to you with an understanding, and it's a misunderstanding. They're leaning on their own understanding, and you have to give them the map that says, you are here, Word of God. This is who you are. And they have to accept or reject it. To the extent that they accept it, then we can move to the next level. If this is where you are, then this is what God says about it. Where do you stand with it? Watch the breaking happen in their soul, and then we move to the process of change. That's what we call the ABC model. Biblical counseling is the avenue by which we bring people to awareness. This is the reality of the way this situation is. This is what's happened to you. This is what you've been going through. We're not going to minimize it. We're not going to maximize it. But this is how God defines this in your life. And based upon the way God defines this, where do you stand in light of this? Because this is who you are and where you are. This is what God says. When a person accepts that reality, then we see the next thing happening as the Spirit of God begins to break them down. And as that brokenness happens, then we can say, now let's start thinking this way. Let's put this off. Let's put this on. Biblical counseling gives us the avenue as it works with people according to where they are in the process of change, and to then give them a map to move forward, because it's God's doing, not our doing. See, the biggest struggle that we have is we like to fix stuff. And in our arrogance, we really think that we can fix people. And what I tell all my trainees all the time, number one, you are not a fixer, you're a facilitator. When you think you can fix something, you're going to get arrogant, and then you're going to have pity parties when it doesn't work. And because I love you, I'm not going to let you have a pity party, because you didn't start this, so you can't end this. You are a facilitator, not a fixer. The best we are planters and waterers. And people come with you with heart conditions. You've got to learn where their heart condition is and understand, according to the map of God, where to go from where they are, not where you want them to be. And too often we come into a mindset saying, this is what I want from this. No. Where are they? And based upon where they are, what does God say? And how do we lead them from one step to the next? Because we have to facilitate, we don't fix. And watch this, and I've had guys do this, and ladies, and they come, and I teach them something, how to do it, and they start doing it, and then they get a little cocky about it, you know, because they're starting to see things work. And then something doesn't work, and that's when they want to blame me, because then they come back and say, well, I tried the stuff you were teaching me, now it's my fault, and something's not working, I tried it. I said, really? I said, so did it work with the other folk? Well, yes, so I'm trying to understand what's going on here. I said, okay, well, this is exciting. And they look at me like excited. I said, this is great. I said, listen, open your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Now go to Luke chapter 8. And I said, now look at the seed and the sower. I said, now there's something consistent here and there's something inconsistent here. Can you tell the difference? Well, I don't know what you're saying. I said, just calm down, because right now you're emotional, because you're all in your feelings, because your counseling didn't work. Just calm down. Look with me at this passage. The thing that was consistent with each one of these people was that they all got the Word of God. The thing that was different with each one of these people is that their hearts were at different places. You have had a set of people whose hearts were ready for what you wanted to offer. But the problem is you took credit for what didn't belong to you. And as a result, now you're feeling some kind of way because now you got people whose hearts aren't ready for what you have to offer. And all the time you thought it was you and it wasn't you. It's God using you, but you've got an issue because now you had a praise party a minute ago. Now you're in a pity party because you're taking credit for something that was never yours. Now, if you can get over yourself, get under the hand of God and recognize this is a lesson for you. You're not a fixer, you're a facilitator. Get up. Get back at it and understand that people's hearts are different and you can give people the same thing, but you're going to have different results. Why? Because the word is consistent. People's hearts are not. So either you can take credit or you can humble yourself and praise God that you are a one that he uses. Biblical counseling is the avenue by which we can help people explore and see all of these things. Am I making sense to you guys? Why do we need it? Because it is the only way that we can be instruments in God's hands to watch people change. We don't change anybody. We're the facilitators of change, but yet God uses us as those instruments. But we got to see where people are. The Word of God helps us to understand that change is a progress. It starts with the awareness. It moves into one being broken, and then you can walk and change. Most of us walk into the room ready to help people change. You need to do this. You need to do that. No. Where is the person? What is their understanding of life and God and the situation? How do they view the situation? Do they see it the way God sees it? If I don't see it the way God sees it, then I'm not going to deal with it the way God wants me to deal with it, and I want you to deal with it the way I want you to deal with it. And we're going to have a clash. Why? Because we don't have the same agenda. You want to feel better. You want to blame somebody. You want resolution of the problem. You just want to get through this. And I tell people, God doesn't want you just to go through something. He wants you to grow through something. God just didn't want to solve your problem. He wants to transform your character through the problem. God just didn't want you to feel better. He wants you to become better. So we're already at two different agendas that have to come together, but you got to see it from where God sees it so you can accept it, see who you are, where you are, allow the Spirit to break you, and then we can talk about the facilitation of change. But you, sir, you, ma'am, have to understand that that's how the Bible exposes the nature of man, and that is the only way the real change is ever going to happen. And the moment you can see that, then you understand that biblical counseling is powerful depending on the issue and the condition of a person's heart. One of the things I share with people a lot, and I promise you we're going to get here. You know, preachers, we ramble way too much. I sit down with people and I say to them, listen, let me share something with you. Because if you say you're Christian, as your pastor, I'm not going to play with you because you say you're Christian. So here's some realities that we're going to put on the table together, just you and I. Said in your Bible, around the Ephesians, where chapter 1, it says, the moment you put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you became sealed by the Spirit of God. So at this point, you're sealed by the Spirit of God. Would you agree? And they go, yeah, I agree. I said, but if you keep looking at that chapter, you go down a little bit, it talks about the same power that raised Christ from the dead is within you. So would you agree that the same power to raise Christ from the dead is within you? Oh, yeah, I agree. I said, wonderful. Now, flipping your Bible over to Philippians chapter 2, and it says, work out, not work for, but work out, which means you already have it. So it's not something you've lost, not something you have to gain, it's something you have. So you're working from something, you're not working to something. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work within you. So if that's true, you have the ability to do anything and everything God commands. Would you agree or disagree? And they would say, yeah, I agree. I said, so then this isn't an issue of can you do this? There's only three reasons why any Christian is not obeying God. Only three. Number one, lack of knowledge. I just didn't know. Well, we're going to teach you. Number two, lack of skill. I just didn't know how. Well, we're going to show you how. Or number three, lack of will. I just won't. I ain't got time. Now, let that sink in. You, Christian, have the power to do everything God commands. And if you're not doing it, it's either you didn't know how, or you won't. And I tell folk all the time, the older I get, the more I realize there is no true counsel for stubbornness. And people ask me all the time, well, how do you get this person to do? You don't. Suffer well. Church discipline, if possible. But you can't make a stubborn person do. That is above your pay grade. That takes the power of God, whom the Lord loves. He what? He disciplines. He chastens. He disciplines. That's not your job. And I tell folk all the time, I'm not going to fight, fuss, and cuss. We're not going to debate, because here's the reality. You know what to do. You know how to do it. You have the power to do it. You're not doing it. You need to take that out with the Lord. Let's pray right now. I'm going to go home and watch the game. Spend some time with my wife. I hadn't seen her all day. Because here's what I know. What can I say to you that you don't already know? This isn't an issue of understanding. This isn't an issue of skill. You're stubborn. There is no counsel for stubborn people other than repent. Now, where am I getting this from? The Word of God. Why do we need biblical counseling? Because it's God's comprehensive way of helping us deal with so many issues as we understand God's word and we move from just understanding to even the processes of how change works down to what we can do specifically with people. And I want to give you some examples of this. As you look at your notes, let's look at point number one together and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let me read the verse and then we'll kind of walk it through. It's a familiar verse. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Now, I want you to notice something, because we read it and we'll miss it. Not only do we see what the Word of God is profitable for in this passage, look how the Holy Spirit put the words. These words aren't random. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Look at the order of those words and let me get you to think with me. Let me read it one more time and just let it sink in for a moment. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. This order of words shows you the process. Go back to letter A, all the way back up. We're not yet. We hadn't started yet. I'm rambling. I'll tell you when to go. I'm rambling right now. These words are showing you the process of spiritual development. These words are showing you the process of how people change through God's power. I need you to understand that. Let's think about it. First comes the teaching. Then comes the conviction. Then you make corrections. Then you train in what's right. First comes the teaching. Then comes the conviction. Then you make corrections. Then you train in what's right. Everyone in this room, as you have grown spiritually, that's how you've grown. You received truth from God. And as you got that truth, you became broken over the truth that you received. And as you became broken, you start making corrections in the things you were doing wrong, and you begin to train in what's right. Am I lying about it? Is that how it worked? And it keeps working. And as you keep growing, what happens? God gives you new information. You become convicted over that information. You start making corrections, and then you train in what's right. Well, guess what? That is the process of how we change. But some of us, because of rebellion and stubbornness in certain areas, we're stuck. But also some of us, we've not yet come to a place of being broken, and that's not on us, that's on God in the sense of this. God brings us to embrace truth. God brings us to be broken over truth. God empowers us to make the corrections and training in righteousness. Your struggle is this. You're trying to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives. You're not dealing with them where they are. You're dealing with them where you want them to be. And what I'm learning over the years as I teach people counseling, people are at different phases and stages of life, and we're going to talk about that. Some people don't yet even know the truth, and you're trying to move them to change. You got to give them truth and let it sit. As you give them truth and let it sit, you got to wait for God to do whatever he's going to do in his sovereignty, because we don't know what he's doing. We don't understand all of that. And so then they get information. They go, oh, that's cute. That's nice. My wife should have been here. She really needs to hear this. Oh, so you see the truth, but you don't see yourself yet. Huh. So I need to change my strategy now. You understand it, but you don't see it in connection to you. So instead of repeating this information, I need to put a mirror up and show you where you stand in light of this truth and then wait for God to bring conviction. We need to change what we're doing because you got truth. You're not broken. So now my strategy changes. I'm not going to talk to you like you don't understand. I'm going to talk to you to show you yourself. Oh, yeah, your wife should be here, but let me ask you some questions about how this applies to you. And let's see what God does. And then, oh, I didn't realize. Oh, my goodness. Now we're at conviction. Now what needs to happen? We need to make some corrections. Now let's facilitate that process. Now let's help you walk in what's right. You see what I'm doing? But I'm not doing it. What am I doing? I'm dealing with the person where they are, not where I want them to be, because God has made it plain. All scripture is inspired and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for training in righteousness. There is a process of spiritual development. First comes the teaching, then comes conviction, then comes correction, then comes training in righteousness. To the extent I understand that reality, I see where people are. Oh, you don't even know truth yet. Why am I trying to get you to be broken? Which is not my job anyway. Let me give you some truth. You got the truth. Now you want to share with everybody, but you stop short of sharing it with yourself. Let me put the mirror up so you can begin to see you in the midst of this. Oh, good. You see you. You're broken. Now let's make some changes. But if I don't understand that dynamic, I come at people wrong. And I waste people's time because I didn't see what God said about the process of change in 2 Timothy. I just want to say something, fix somebody, instead of being a facilitator and not try to be. By the way, is there such thing as a junior Holy Spirit? Does that exist? It doesn't exist, right? So there's not a fourth person of the Trinity. There's only three in the Trinity, right? So if we stop trying to play God and learn to be instruments in his hands, we can see some beautiful things happen with people as God works, not as we work. Because it's all up to him. Am I making sense to you? So with that in mind, we need biblical counseling because it is the means by which issues of life can be addressed at the core level, resulting in using scripture to lead individuals into life transformation according to the stages of spiritual development. As God is working inside of individuals, they are to respond accordingly. So let's walk this through. As we talked about 2 Timothy 3:16, God shows us in 2 Timothy 3:16 four stages of where people get to. And as a biblical counselor, if you understand this, let me give an example of how this can work for you, whether it be a believer or an unbeliever. As we talk about the teaching stage, as we see all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, the Holy Spirit enlightens one's mind through the Word of God, bringing one into the awareness of truth in various aspects of life through the teaching of God's Word. Biblical counseling uses scripture to teach the one the right way to think, to desire, to feel, and communicate, to relate, and to serve. Well, what if I have an unbeliever that comes to me? Well, what it does for the unbeliever is that biblical counseling uses it as an opportunity to show him the reality of God's word in light of his unbiblical worldview within the context of the issue he's brought before you. It's all the same process. I'm trying to guide you. I can't make you see, but I can give you information and wait for God to help you see. I can't bring you to be broken, but I can show you yourself in connection with this reality and wait for God to break you because it's not my job. Second stage, conviction stage. God begins to focus one's attention in a particular area of life, convincing one that change is necessary, resulting in conviction, honesty, and godly sorrow through the teaching of God's word. The Bible tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof. Now, this is important. Teaching people reproof is different than teaching people information. Let me explain what I mean. Reproof is about connecting their practical life to the truth you've already taught them. You're not repeating the truth as much as you're saying, in light of this thing, let's look at your life. In light of this thing I've taught you, let's look at where you stand. In light of this thing that you understand, where are you in the process of living this out in your life? And one of the questions I like to ask people, if God could speak audibly to you, based upon this insight that we have just learned, what would he say about where you're living this out or not living this out? What would he say to you? What am I doing? I'm trying to guide them to look at themselves as I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to do what he is going to do in their lives, because I can't bring you to godly sorrow. Hence the meaning, godly sorrow. Did you catch that? I can manipulate you, but I can't bring you to godly sorrow. I can only give you insight and wait for God to do whatever he's going to do to bring you to your senses. Someone says, well, how long do you keep talking to people until they get up and walk away? Because one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to keep repeating it, and they're going to get tired of it, or I'm going to keep bringing them to broken. Why am I going to give you something to work on? You're not broken. So the homework I give you is going to fail. Why? You don't see the need for it. But if I don't know that, I'm going to waste a lot of time with you, frustrate you by giving you things you don't see that you need a need for, because you don't yet see the problem. So we're going to stay right where you are until the Lord begins to break you, or you walk away from me, one or the other. Because what I can't do is give wasted homework that doesn't fit where you are in your life. Does that make sense, everybody? Let's walk this through a little bit more. Biblical counseling, well, again, use scriptures to lead one to awareness, conviction, understanding, brokenness about the sinful thoughts, desires, feelings, communication, behavior, relational patterns, and serving patterns, or lack thereof one tends to have. For unbelievers, biblical counseling uses this as an opportunity to show him the detriment of his sin and his need for our Lord and Savior Christ within the context of the issue he's brought before you. Not only is scripture inspired for teaching, for reproof, which is conviction, we also see what we call the correction stage. As a result of teaching and conviction from the Word of God, one makes a decision to abandon the sin issue in his or her life. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for correction. Biblical counseling uses scripture at this stage to guide one into putting off sinful thoughts, desires, feelings, communication, behavior, relationship patterns, and serving patterns, or lack thereof, one tends to have. If we're dealing with the unbeliever, this biblical counseling uses this as an opportunity to guide them through the process of repenting and receiving genuine faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You see the process. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for what? Four things, guys. What's the first thing? What's the second thing? What's the third thing? What's the fourth thing? Which leads us to the fourth thing. Again, why we need biblical counseling. Training stage. As the result of the teaching and conviction from the Word of God, one puts to practice what God has commanded in his Word. What does biblical counseling do? It uses this as an opportunity. Now you're broken. Now you're ready to move forward. Let's teach you how to put on this new godly thought, this new desire, this new feeling, this new communication, this new way of behaving, this new way of relating. Let's move you forward. We can't start there unless you are ready to go there. And too many people try to start at the process of change, but they don't see where the person is. We need biblical counseling because the more we study the Word of God, the more we understand how God leads people through the process of change. Biblical counseling follows God's model for the process of change. Where and how they see, when they don't see, what needs to happen. We use God's Word according to how he would want us to use it. As we understand this, the second reason why we need biblical counseling, point number two, biblical counseling guides people into how to live accordingly in relation to the pursuit of wisdom for the best course of action. When unbelievers come for wisdom, biblical counseling will use the wisdom of God to lead that person back to the gospel of Christ accordingly. So notice, if we want to understand why biblical counseling, one is in the process of change, helping people grow, we need that word, and we need to understand how God processes that as we look at scripture and we guide people that way. We need to teach people God's wisdom. There is a way of life. God has a way that things work. And too often what I've learned about people is we want to resolve problems. We don't want to understand how things work. And if I don't understand how things work, inevitably I'm going to do that same thing I did before, right? Not understanding how things work. Can I just say this? I want you to think about this. We all, the one even talking, we are fools by default. We have to become wise on purpose. biblical counseling guides us in how to become wise. It shows us this is how things work. This is how life is. And this is how you need to adjust your life to these realities. That's the wisdom of God. I teach my daughters that all the time. I said, listen, you didn't hear me the first few years of your life, but you hear me now. Whatever a man will do with you, a man will do to you. Now you understand me after you've made all those decisions that I begged you not to make. But now you hear me, and that's okay. We're here now. But hear me. If a man is willing to sin with you, why are you shocked that he's now sinning against you? If a man is willing to rebel with you, why are you not shocked that he's rebelling against you? A man will do with you what he'll do to you. And if you act like a man, you'll get treated like a man. And you're not a man. You're a wonderful young woman. What am I trying to teach them? The way things work. How God has structured life, what sin has done, and how you operate in the middle of this world that is in crisis because it's rebelling against the will of God. Wisdom. Biblical counseling gives us that. Let me give you some examples. Are y'all with me so far? Making sense? Biblical counseling guides people to direct their minds towards a full understanding of human life and towards its moral fulfillment. Secondly, biblical counseling guides people into the development of the mind and expansion of knowledge and an understanding of both meaning of life and how that life must be lived. But third, biblical counseling guides people into the art of being successful, of forming correct plan to gain a desired God-honoring results. Fourth, biblical counseling guides people into the practical skills associated with living a successful life. These skills range from the ability to create highly skilled works to the intellectual capability required to make choices and favorable outcomes and avoid troubles. Biblical counseling guides people into factual knowledge, the situational insight, and the necessary resolve together that has the greatest likelihood of success in achieving the intended righteous goal. We need biblical counseling. It is God's mechanism to guide us into understanding the process of change, understanding how life works, and where we need to adjust. If I could give it to you this way. When you think about Romans, and it says in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. You've heard that a million times, right? But let's think about the reality of that. The wrath of God is present tense revealed. There's a wrath to come, future, and there's a wrath that's happening now, present tense. If you understand the wrath that's happening now, it helps you understand why things are the way they are. For example, God's wrath now is letting you suffer the consequences of rejecting his order. That's the wrath. Letting you suffer the consequences of rejecting his order. And it says against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Ungodliness is not thinking about God. Unrighteousness are the actions that follow without thinking about God. So we have a whole world that has rejected God's order, rejected God's standards, and as Dr. Phil would say, how is that going for you? Does that make sense? And so people keep saying, well, if God is such a good God, why does evil exist? Evil exists because you are evil. And because you reject God's standards, we keep experiencing evil. Now, here's a promise. It won't always be evil in the world because God has sent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. He has paid the penalty for all sin. And there will come a day where there'll be no more sin in this world. But those who will experience the beauty of that are those who put their faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And there will be a time, and as the old black preacher would say, it will be a land of no more, a land of no more sorrow, no more pain. But the question is, there's also going to be a judgment for all that sin. Where do you stand? Because wrath exists, but God is saying, you don't want me? I created this world. I created the order. I've created the standards. Everything that exists exists for me and by my glory. Watch this. Name one thing that God created that he created for itself. Can you think of anything? Now let that sink in. So there's nothing that God created that he created for itself, right? So why do you think being selfish is ever going to make you successful? Why do you think living for yourself is ever going to produce anything but confusion, disorder, and every evil thing? Because there's nothing that he created for itself. Everything he created for his glory to function according to his design. And that's the wrath. People say, we don't want his order. We don't want his design. Then you get exactly what you got. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall what? But you have people who want what God has to offer, but don't want God himself. You know, God is kind of funny like that. God can be in his feelings. He kind of wants you to want him and what he wants. And the reality is, if I could put it to this way, the problems in life exist because there's an order that we don't follow. Why do we need biblical counseling? Biblical counseling says, as we study God's word, here's God's order. As we study God's word, here's the process by which we can walk in that order. And the reason why you're having these issues in your life, there's something out of order. But here's the power of God. As you put your faith in the person and work of him, as you begin to surrender to his will, he will guide you to that order. And where there is confusion, you will have peace. Where there's instability, you'll be stable. Because watch this, the world is going to stay confused because it's unwilling to accept God's order. This is what I used to tell my babies all the time. I love my girls. The worst thing I can do as your father is let you have your way. Because you will destroy yourself because you don't know yourself and you don't know your heart. So if I give you everything you want, the way you want, how you want it, you're going to kill yourself. That's why as your daddy, I have to tell you no, not because I enjoy it, but what you want, you can't handle right now. And the way you want it, it doesn't work that way. And it's not going to be good for you. And you know what the world is saying to our Almighty Father? We want what we want. He's saying you can have it. But guess what it's going to cost you? Your life. Why do we need biblical counseling? We need to help people understand you're going to always have foolishness around you. But there's an order that you can walk in with the foolishness around you. And when you start lowering your expectations of people and start raising your love for people and you start living by your love for people and stop living by your expectations, you're going to be free. But see, right now, what you want from people is way more important than what God wants you to do for people. How do we get there? Biblical counseling. Am I making sense, my brothers and sisters? Let's walk through the third reason why we need biblical counseling. Biblical counseling also provides support, encouragement, and guidance through those difficulties of life not created by the person, focusing on the support and sanctification of Christians and the support and salvation of unbelievers. Listen, guys, we sin, we suffer. We sin, we suffer. A lot of us deal with sin. A lot of us deal with suffering. There's a lot of things happening to you that you did not cause. You've got foolish people around you. You've got things going on. You've got God allowing Satan to do stuff. You've got a world that's cursed. So there's a lot of suffering that goes on that you had nothing to do with. Biblical counseling says, we hear you. We understand. You did not ask that man to take your body. You did not ask that man to molest you. You did not ask that person to do that to you. We hear you. And we want to weep with you through this process. Because that was not your fault. You have suffered some tremendous pain by some horrible things and some horrible people in this world. But I'm here to tell you, my sister, my brother, God does not waste any pain in your life. And my job is to show you how God doesn't waste any pain by we looking at his scripture and then showing you how to walk through that pain to have some peace. And in the midst of that, we're going to see what God can do with you in all of this. Because we live in a world where suffering is going to happen because we live in a world that's rebelled against the Almighty God. So it's not that suffering is going to stop. We're just going to teach you how to handle all that comes your way. Because the scripture does say you shall have what? Tribulations. So how do we help you navigate through all of this stuff? People and circumstances and your own stuff that you are not even aware of. Let's walk through a little bit of this together. If people are suffering from what we call soil evil, if you will, is the curse on the ground. That's why we have the hurricanes and all that kind of stuff. Or situational evil. Situational evil is what we call the malfunction of man-made items. You know, like when they have to do a recall on your car because the brakes don't work. You know what I'm talking about? That's what we call situational evil. So if people are suffering from soil evil or situational evil, counseling God's people to worship God as they grieve over suffering, accepting the sovereignty of God over their lives while working through the matter with endurance, pursuing wisdom to fix, resolve, or work through the matter. If people are suffering from what we call sickness, counseling God's people to pray for help, repent of sin if there be any tie to the sickness, trust in the Lord and function in obedience in spite of their sickness. If people are suffering from the sin of others, counseling God's people to embrace the reality that what others meant for evil, God will use to bring good to their lives while obeying God in spite of the sin of others. Where appropriate, counseling will guide people to confront them about their sin accordingly. If people are suffering from Satan, counseling will guide people to submit to God and resist the devil with the spiritual armor given to them by God, which will cause the devil to flee from them. If people are suffering from serving, counseling guides people to embrace the fact that God will provide comfort in the midst of their affliction while continuing to serve, which will result in developing an endurance, leading to Christ-like character being developed. And in all these situations, when it's an unbeliever, use it as an opportunity to show them the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So why do we need biblical counseling? Because when it comes to life, it gives us reality and shows us how to walk it through. My 18-year-old grandson, he's still in that fantasy land. I said, son, the one thing I'm praying for you is that you learn reality. You see ideas and you don't yet see life and you don't yet see yourself the way you need to. My job as your grandfather, I'm going to help you. You know, I know your dad is not with us. He died and he was not around. So it's my job. But one of the things I got to help you see is this, son. You're too full of yourself. You're not as smart as you think you are, and that's going to destroy you. I've been where you are. That's why I'm praying that God will give you reality and help you see you for who you really are so you can embrace him as he really is so you can be the man that God wants you to be. Because in reality, son, manhood is about setting things in order, and not just any order, God's order. And as you set things in order, you're supposed to protect and take care of the women in your life and to take care of the people that are in your life. And right now, you can't see that or do that because you're too full of you. So I'm praying and I'm here to help you see reality because you are going to be a great man of God once you get over yourself. Which means you've got to line up with the very order that you've been called to set things in order by. God's word is the order. Manhood is about setting things in order. We're not to run from chaos, we're to run to chaos. But you can't set things in order as a man if you don't adjust your life to God's order as a man. Are y'all hearing me? And the same thing follows with women. It's just that God gave man the leadership in the process to be the one to establish and then see everybody come behind the process. But how in the world do we get there? The Word of God. Only Christians can show the world what a real man and a real woman looks like because we understand how things work. We understand how change happens. We know our place. But how? Because we invest in this thing called the Word of God. I share this with you because my heart is deep for this. This is why God, I think, really led me into biblical counseling. Coming through the ranks of life and learning things and suffering and struggling and working through 28 years of marriage, there are some things that you start to see. And one of the things that I learned quickly is that the closer you get to people, the clearer they get to see and experience your depravity, especially in marriage. And I thank God for my wife because she ain't left me yet. Y'all see the preacher, she lives with the man. Does that make sense? But guess what? I don't think I'm the only one. And to the extent we don't get that reality that we all have this depravity in us and that the closer we get to each other, we're going to experience it. And the key is not to run from it, but to work through it by the sanctification process. We miss the beauty of community as Christians. Biblical counseling brings that reality. It shows us, what did you expect? I never forget, I had this couple with me, and we called this guy the kissing bandit, not in a bad way, but in a good way. He was one of those happy-go-lucky, I mean, when you know the Bible says you gotta give a holy kiss, this brother was holy kissing everybody all the time. You know, and he would grab men and grab women, and brothers were like, say, homie, man, dude, come on, bro. You know, he was a good-looking guy, so all the ladies were like, oh, yeah, yeah. And his wife was in the corner. One day he was walking around giving everybody his holy hugs and kisses. She opened the corner with her arms folded. Y'all know what this looked like, right? And she had that look and she was rolling her eyes. And then she went. And she did it a few times where I noticed it. I said, hey, sister, come here. Let me talk to you. Well, what's up? What's up, baby girl? She said, look at him, pastor. Look at him. I said, well, you know your husband. Everybody knows he's the kissing bandit. But y'all don't know what he's like at home. I said, okay, come sit in my office. Talk to me. What's up? Well, you know, he does this. He does that. He doesn't do this. And I let it go on and on and on. I said, well, here's the thing. Are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I said, if I were to bring him here, could he tell me all the very things about you? Well, I guess he could, but I mean, it just looked like he's putting on a show for all these people. Like he just, you know, doing all. I said, well, listen. No one is going to know how ugly your husband is like you. They're not going to get that side of him. You get all of him. They get some of him. Just like nobody's going to know all about you. He gets all of you. They get some of you. You got to understand that you're close. You get all the good and all the bad. But why do you think God would let you experience this? And I asked her three questions. I said, now, I'm not negating this, and I'm gonna holler at him about this. We're going to chat a little bit, and I appreciate you ratting out your husband because we got some talk to do. But I got you, sis. I got you. I said, but let me help you with something. Based upon what God is allowing you to experience with this man, three questions. What do you think God is trying to teach you about him, God, for you to hold on to in the midst of this? I said, question number two, what do you think God's trying to teach you about your character that needs to change through this? I said, then thirdly, as you work through that, how do you think God wants you to be a better relator, a server of your husband as you learn those first two things? Process that with me over the next few months, unless you and I get together. But I got you on the other end. I got some talking to do. But I need you to understand something. God may let him stay this way because it's not about him. It's always about where you need to trust the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. And it's always about your character development. God is allowing this because he wants you to be better, not bitter. And it's always about how you can be useful through relationships, starting with your husband and then moving to everybody else. So if you sit around with your arms folded, just looking at how you think he's just a faker, you're missing the entire lesson that God has for you, because this lesson is not so much about him as I'm going to get him. This is more about you. You can be miserable or you can have peace. because God has a way that things work. Are y'all hearing me on this? Where do I get this from? I'm not making this stuff up. It's the Word of God. Why do we need biblical counseling? It is the only place where you're going to get reality. The Bible says that God has given us everything pertaining to life and what? Where are you going to get that in secular humanistic counseling? Where are you going to get that in integration? The only place is in the Word of God. Now, here's a secret to this as we close. You can't give what you don't have. Did you hear what I said? You can't give what you don't have. If you're not putting this to practice in your life, don't think you're going to walk in a counseling room and help somebody change their lives. And too often, what I've discovered with so many people, they want to learn it to share it, but they don't want to learn it to live it. And they don't understand why their counseling is so powerless. You can't tell this person how to live it out because you're not doing it. Sitting with this sister one time, we had a long discussion about that. Sitting with a brother one time, we had a long discussion about it. And I said, bro, here's the thing. You've got wonderful insight. But if I ask you how to put it to practice, you can't tell me, which means it's going to always fall short. Now, I'm not saying you have to live everything that you've learned because that's impossible. But you should be living out things. Does that make sense? And to the extent that you're learning what God says and living it out, you have more of a way to show people what to do, not just tell them how things are. But there's another reality too, and I want to share this with you as we close. If nobody can tell you what to do, then nobody can help you in what to do. Stubbornness is a central factor that will ever keep you from transformation. If I can't tell you what to do, I can't help you. And too many couples struggle because they're their own authority and they won't listen to anybody and they won't listen to each other. Counseling won't help. Does that make sense? Because you have to be faithful, available, teachable. You got to be fat. I said that one day, and this woman got real upset. This man got real upset. I said, I'm looking for some fat people. They were like, oh. I said, wait. Don't leave. Faithful, available, teachable. Can I explain what that means before we close? Faithful. You follow through on what you need to do. That's what it means to be faithful. You follow through on what you need to do. Available. You show up consistently, ready to do what needs to be done. Teachable, you're willing to listen and learn. You're willing to listen and learn. Now, let's take both, all three of those things. If you take away being faithful and you're available and teachable, can I work with you? Why? Because you don't follow through. If you take away available, but you're faithful and teachable, can I work with you? You don't show up. If you take away teachable and you're faithful and available, can I work with you? Because you know everything, so you're not going to listen to nothing. So if real change is going to happen, you got to be faithful, available, and teachable. And guess who has to break you and build you to be that? That's why many of us are going through trials right now. We don't understand. We're not at a place where we're faithful, available, teachable. And God has to break us to build us so that we can keep growing. Because that which he started, he said he will finish. But he didn't tell us how he was going to finish it. Some of us don't recognize some problems are not going to go away in our lives until some stubbornness goes away in our lives. Now, let me stop. I'm moving to preaching. We're done. Let me stop. All right. We're going to close 2 minutes early. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Does this make sense to you? As I come from the great nation of Texas, I just came by to encourage you. We need biblical counseling, my brothers and sisters. It is the only way. that true change is going to ever happen in our lives. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Copyright 2025 IBCD. All rights reserved. More free resources are available at ibcd.org.